Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So do you remember the first time that your mom told you that sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you? All right, so maybe you don't remember exactly the very first time, but do you remember your mom or dad or maybe a teacher or coach saying something like that to you? More importantly, do you remember when you discovered that it was a lie? Not an intentional lie, of course. Far from it. Our parents and other caring adults told us that names can't hurt us in order to protect us, to shield us, to help us, to make us feel a little better. The irony, of course, is that they usually told us that names can't hurt us precisely because we'd recently been hurt by someone calling us names. I'm guessing that when I asked you to think back to when you learned how painful names can be, many of us dredged up memories from middle school. You remember sixth or seventh grade, the time when kids become unnervingly skilled at inflicting emotional damage on each other with the exchange of just a few words: stupid, fat, ugly, skinny, egghead, klutz, dummy, loser, and so many more. Nor, truth be told, did all this end with adolescence. As we grew up, we continued to be called, and truth be told, sometimes call others names. Maybe not as directly or crassly as when we were in middle school, but still with the intent to harm. Names hurt because they have the power not just to describe, but sometimes even to define us. The names others call us, and even more, the names we sometimes adopt for ourselves, all too often mark the boundaries of our imagination about who we are and about what we can do. They become limiting factors, often reinforced by those around us. Scientists have actually demonstrated this in numerous experiments. Put a kid in the gifted class, for instance, and she'll score better than if she believes she's in with the slow learners. Over time, the names we bear too often become labels that we wear and create a self-fulfilling future that can feel nearly impossible to escape. All of which brings me to today's gospel reading. Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee to the land of the Gerasenes, which means that he's not just crossing the sea, he's crossing boundaries. Because the land of the Gerasenes is the land of the Gentiles, and no self-respecting Jewish rabbi would be taking his band of followers there. When he gets there, he's confronted immediately by a man who is possessed. Actually, he is more than possessed. He is occupied. Because that's what a legion was, the name he gives himself. It's a unit of the Roman army, a force that occupies territories like Israel that they had conquered. So this guy isn't just possessed by one unclean spirit. He's occupied by a host of them, dozens, hundreds, more. We actually don't know, though, for what it's worth, the Roman army legion designated 6,000 soldiers. So we can be pretty sure it was a lot. My goodness, but his story is so tragic. He's alone, wandering the tombs, and clearly a frightening hazard to himself and to others. But then Jesus comes and heals him, sending the host of demons out of him to inhabit a herd of pigs that then run to their destruction. In response to this healing, people are amazed and more than a little frightened, while the man himself is incredibly grateful and wants to follow Jesus. But Jesus tells him to stay where he is in order to tell people what God has done for him. So what's the connection between this story and names? Well, keep in mind the question Jesus first asks this seriously troubled man. What is your name? And the heartbreaking moment of the story is when one of the horde occupying him answers, "Legion, for we are many." I find it kind of devastating that he has no name, no identity left, except for what he is captive to. It's not Elijah or Isaac or John or Frank or Jimmy. It's Legion. He has been completely defined by what assails him, by what robs him of joy and health, by what hinders him and keeps him bound, by all those things that keep him from experiencing life in its abundance. He has become nothing more than the name these occupying demons have given him. And here's the thing. I don't think we are all that different. Don't we also tend to define ourselves in terms of our deficiencies and setbacks, our disappointments and grudges and failures? Not always, of course, but enough to rob us of the abundant life God hopes that we experience and share with others. Why is it that every time we want to take a risk, for instance, we are reminded of every failure and disappointment we've experienced before? Perhaps because we've allowed these things to possess us, we too, at times, are legion. Moreover, almost everyone hearing the sermon has probably known someone at one time or another who has struggled with some form of addiction, whether to opioids or alcohol or gambling or whatever. Or maybe we are struggling with that ourselves, even now. Whatever the case, we can get so easily captured, really occupied by these destructive habits and lose our sense of who we are. We too are legion. And it doesn't stop there. Our culture, too, relentlessly focuses on our deficiencies. Most commercials and ads, for instance, tell us that we do not have enough, even that we are not enough, and invite us to define ourselves not in terms of all the blessings we have, but instead to understand ourselves in terms of what we lack. And the political arena is no different. Too often, candidates running for elected office seem ridiculously eager to create a climate and sense of fear. So that again, rather than be grateful for the thousand blessings that come from living in this country, we are instead beset by a host of fears and see enemies everywhere. We, too, are legion. So back to this gospel story. I think it's really interesting that after healing this man, Jesus just sails away, which makes me wonder if that all that he did in the land of the Gerasenes was just to heal this one possessed man, which might mean that Jesus' whole detour into this strange and unfamiliar place was to do just that, that one but life-altering thing, to rid this man of his demons, to transform him from being legion to being a human being again, and remind him of his identity, that he was and always would be a beloved child of God. So here's the thing. Jesus is still crossing boundaries to do just that. He is still coming into the strange and unfamiliar world of our failure-ridden and fearful lives to cast out our demons, whatever they may be. Jesus says to us again and again that we are more than the sum total of our past disappointments or failures. We are God's beloved children, forgiven of our sins, healed of our disappointments, and blessed with an open future. And Jesus will keep coming to tell us just that. No matter how many ads or news stories or political rallies we hear telling us the contrary. Because Jesus' word and promise to us today and always is that we are not insufficient, we are not undeserving of love, and that as long as the future is in God's hands, we have no reason to fear. Sometimes, in fact, I think it's not just the point of this story, but really the whole point of Jesus' ministry and mission, his death and resurrection, to tell us, really to show us just how much God loves us, and in this way, to remind us of that name God has given and that no one can take away. For you, you are God's beloved child. That, I think, is what this story is ultimately about. The Gerasene man Jesus encounters lost his identity amid a legion of demons, but Jesus gave it back to him. And Jesus gives us our identity back to us as well. It's the identity first announced to us in baptism when we were washed with water, marked with the cross of Christ, promised God's grace and forgiveness always, and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And so when we lose our identity or forget our name, when we feel trapped by our past hurts, possessed by addiction, or overwhelmed by fear or lack, we're invited to come back here to our church in order to have those demons cast out, our identity restored, and be reminded once again of just how much God loves us. I'll say it again, because it bears repeating, and because not everyone you meet this week will tell you the same. So hear me as I say, you are God's beloved child, which means that you are enough, more than enough, and so absolutely deserving of love. Child of God, that is your name, your identity, and your destiny. And this name is indeed more powerful than sticks and stones and even all the other names you may hear. Once we've heard that good word, we can then leave this service committed to reminding a world mired in fear and violence and grief and bigotry that Jesus is still crossing boundaries to tell us that we and that everyone is worthy of love, dignity, and respect. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus still comes. Thanks be to God. Amen.